AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Eric here today. Have you caught any of the Barr testimony in the Senate today?
No, not yet.
This guy's as crooked as the day is long. I mean, there's one thing he said. I was at the Y, and he said it. I had my headset on, and I literally go, what? His argument is that he can order people to fire Mueller as the special counsel, as the special counsel is doing the investigation, as long as they don't fire him, and then eventually the investigation doesn't find anything wrong, as interpreted by Barr. So even though the Mueller, we now, you know, because there's all this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people that are asking the question about, well, Mueller says contradicts you directly about what's in the report. When we'll get to that with Stein. But that is, they know they're in trouble. Because once again, I want to see if you can follow along. He's not guilty of obstruction of justice when he orders his attorney to fire Mueller during the special investigation into Trump himself. Because Barr says as long as at the end of the investigation they found no wrongdoing, well, then no blood, no foul sort of thing.
Sure. Makes sense.
Wow. I don't know what's funnier, Barr trying to figure out how in the heck to spin this because he can't. Or the Republicans. I mean, Leahy, and I'll get to this with Stein because this is his guy. Leahy came in, talked about the FBI agents, why they haven't been investigated, why we aren't calling the Steele dossier collusion for the Democrats, why there hasn't been a massive investigation into the deal. And the day we find out that Mueller not only sent one letter, two letters, and actually had a full conversation with Barr about the mischaracterization of what was in the Mueller report. And that, you know, and he's been caught red-handed lying at this point. And just, it's pretty spectacular. So we'll get to that with Stein a little bit later on. I got to get to, obviously, Mohamed Nour's, the verdict is going to be the main discussion topic here. But I did want to mention, if you've seen this, Cassandra Maxwell, this is a woman, it sounds like a mom who lives in Roseau, who was basically kicked out of her kid's elementary school. Now, her story is that she went to see her kids, she went down the wrong hall, and then the police were called. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't happen. I mean, if I go to my kid's school and I'm going, and I've actually got kids there, and I, because my kids are in kind of, they have different areas where this grade is at, this grade. So I go to the wrong grade. They'll say, oh, wait, I'm looking for fourth. Oh, down this street? Okay. They're not calling the cops. So there's a lot of story here that I don't think is being told. But what she's getting known for is this insane video of her screaming, swearing, spitting about, you know, how she's going to sue the school and all this. If you guys know who Cassandra Maxwell is in Roseau, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get in touch with her, and I want you, with all sincerity, this woman needs some help. This woman needs to immediately seek some counseling, because there is something. Eric, it's kind of like when you saw Britney Spears shave her head and start waving umbrellas at paparazzi. This is different. There is something. This isn't just eccentric Hollywood. This isn't just someone who's under stress. This is someone who is breaking in front of your eyes. And the consequences, especially when you're talking about kids are involved, is incredibly serious.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that she's pretty unhinged.
You saw that. You did see the video, yeah.
She's frothing at the mouth.
Oh, she's
erratic.
If you know her, I mean, I don't want to ever see her in a news story again. I don't want another see her. Now, this, get her off of social media and get her some actual real counseling, because if someone doesn't step in with this woman and try to help her out right now, I'm very concerned about what the next step is going to be. And she clearly is breaking. I mean, that's the best way to say it. She's breaking. And we're watching it on, and you know, as she live streams it on Facebook. Just tell her to turn off the social media. Tell her to call up the grandparents and get them to watch the kids for a few days. And go tell her to go find a counselor and sit down and basically try to bring herself back from the brink. Because as much as there's a sensationalism of this stuff, that's kind of scary to see. And once again, there are kids involved here. So let's hope it doesn't get down to something far more serious here. Yesterday, the verdict came down in the Mohamed Nour shooting of Justine Demond in Minneapolis. Once again, police respond to a report of possible sexual assault, get into an alley. Justine Demond comes behind the police car, and when they saw them, the Mohamed Nour shot across his partner and struck Justine Demond and killed her. The verdict is, was it not guilty on third-degree murder, second-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter, I think were the guilty charges.
Yeah, I heard second degree.
Yeah. I think what we've come to, now, first of all, I want to make sure I say this. I am glad about this verdict. He murdered her. Mohamed Nour murdered Justine Demond. He did. He did. He just because he had a badge on, he was in a police car, and he had a police service weapon on him, doesn't mean he didn't murder her. He murdered her. And the verdict here is a good verdict. It is. But what we saw yesterday was where the bar really is in regards to what it takes in Minnesota to get a police officer convicted of murdering someone when they murdered someone. The first things that came across my social media timeline when this verdict came down was how, you know, you had body camera footage of Yanez. You had a live stream video on Facebook of Yanez's shooting. You know, it was just as demented and deranged, and he didn't get, I mean, once again, Yanez was an interesting one because the murder of Philando Castile, and it is the murder, you know, Yanez murdered Philando Castile. He was found not guilty of murdering, but he murdered him. He murdered the guy. And he, when the jury has a woman on it who owns a gas station, which has police department accounts that services police departments with their gas station, and says after the trial, I would have never found a police officer guilty ever. The fix was in, and the prosecutor, I mean, the fix was in across the board. So the question here is, what was it? Was it the fact that Mohamed Nour is black? Is it the fact that Justine Demond is white? My argument is, and I've gone back and I've thought about this a lot in the last 24 hours, or a little less than 24 hours, but I've thought about this a lot. And my gut feeling is this: if Mohamed Nour would have shot a black kid, the police union would have run. You see, Justine Demond created a nightmare for them because they couldn't do what they always do, which is run to conservative media, KSTP, and basically start screaming about gangbanger and drug dealer. And that's what the police union does. That's they character assassinate the victim. You know, Philando Castile. Philando Castile was an amazingly nice human being. But what was the police narrative of, he was a gangbanger, he was a drug dealer?
Yeah, they even started going after his girlfriend.
They went after his girl. Oh, she's a gangbanger too. He was a demon creature with fire coming out of his eyes, like something out of Mephistopheles or something. Seriously, that is what they would do. And of course, the media this time, yes, character assassination. If it was a black kid, Mohamed Nour had shot the black kid, he would not be guilty. He wouldn't. I'm convinced of that. They would have done the traditional trajectory of character assassination of the black person at the courtesy of the police union and at the courtesy of the right-wing media of the city, and they would have destroyed him. But they couldn't because it was Justine Demond. The question is, and I think it's even a little tougher question, if a white officer had shot Justine Demond, would there have been guilty? I don't think so. I honestly do not think so. I think what we understand now is the bar is this. And this will be the case that the police, when any time, any future police officer, when he murders an African-American kid in the streets of Minneapolis and gets found acquitted, doesn't get charged or found not guilty, they'll say, you already got your pound of flesh with Mohamed Nour. Stop persecuting us. No. This case highlights perfectly. This case, Philando Castile, Jamar Clark, they all highlight the same thing, is this warrior training mentality of the police is what is really screwed up. I have had more military people give me, say I was absolutely correct when I said, if you want to stop a lot of this, have these police officers go through military type of weapons training. Because I was the Army. In the Army, they teach you the following three things. One, you never aim a weapon at something you do not want to kill. Ever. Ever. You never aim a weapon at something you do not want to kill. Second of all, you never fire off a round unless you have identified what you are shooting at. Thirdly, you do not shoot unless you are engaged. And don't look at me like, what do the military know about this? They're in combat zones, not by a freaking subway on Lake Street. They're not by a Caribou Coffee. They're in combat zones and they have these rules, but because your warrior training teaches you to be scared and terrified and shoot the first thing that moves, like it's some kind of freaking Wile E. Coyote cartoon, this is how you get this problem. And I'm sorry, there should have been charges in Jamar Clark. There should have been a guilty, you know, verdict in the case of Philando Castile, and we finally got one. And the reason we've got one, because it's the perfect storm for this scenario. Black cop, white victim. This is the only time you will ever see a police officer in the state. And by the way, I should mention, for the record, there is still a pretty decent chance that Neuer could get this thing overturned on appeal. Because the way that the Republicans have written the laws in the state, basically all he has to do is say, I was scared! I was scared! And it's like I said, Mohamed Noor is guilty of killing Justine Dumont. The sad tragedy is this is what it takes in Minneapolis and in Minnesota today to get any kind of justice when a police officer murders via badge, is you have to have a black cop and a white victim, because then the police can't character assassinate the victim nearly as much as they try to character assassinate any black victim. And with a black cop, it's basically what we've learned. And if you're a police officer in the Minneapolis Police Department and you're African American, let me tell you something. It's clear that you are working under a different set of rules than the white, the non-African American cops around you. It is very clear that if you're a black police officer, your rules are, you are held to a higher accountability, a higher standard level than the other police around you. It's like I said, it's justice, but it like I said, if you found Mohamed Noor guilty, how in the hell did you not find Yanez guilty? Because Yanez was, there's a ton more evidence against Yanez. Oh, that's right, because the fix was in. But with a black officer, I guess we can turn our eye this time, because, you know, black officer, white victim. Yeah, we'll let a guilty verdict fly by this time. And I'm not saying that this isn't a guilty verdict. My point is that this is where you have to be to get when a police officer murders under the auspices of the badge, this is the only way you're ever going to get any kind of justice. So, I don't know. Like I said, black victim and Mohamed Noor, he would have been found not guilty. White officer and Justine Dumont, he would have been found not guilty. This is the only scenario where it comes out this way. This is the only one. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I want to get into, once again, the Republicans, now that they've been caught trying to revisit the wage increases in Minneapolis and St. Paul and try to nullify them. Now they're acting like this is what they want to do all the time. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Sitka Salmon Shares was created 7 years ago for the Midwesterner wanting better seafood. Here's how it works. First, visit sitkasalmonshares.com and enroll in a membership fit for you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Then our fishermen in Southeast Alaska catch your share, fillet, and blast freeze with care and send them to your front door, all with delicious recipes. It's that simple. Enroll now at sickofsalmonshares.com and use code AM950 for $25 off.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
How much can you get for a used Xbox?
Fine. My father is the voice of his generation, Matt McNeil.
Fantastic!
My dad loves me driving the Toyota Sienna, and the Sienna is incredibly reliable. While my dad drives the new one, mine is over 10 years old and still runs great.
A vehicle with amazing reliability, an incredible service department, and the Luther Advantage card, you get that with Rudy Luther Toyota. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, did you catch the guy that was trying to hide his identity behind the Save Lake Calhoun guy, this venture capitalist? That was Austin.
Yeah, I did.
Austin.
That's great.
The editorial that he wrote there, you know, just the, if they change this, they might as well change Lake Harriet too, it's, and by the way, once again, very racially tinged to the Bidet Unma. I think it's Unma. Bidet Unma. Ooh, make us say more Native American words over my dead body. That's kind of the mentality you picked up from it. I don't know. Harriet Lovejoy, who Lake Harriet was named after, was the girlfriend of Colonel Leavenworth, actually, Camp Leavenworth, Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. That's the guy he's named after that. Leavenworth, that was his girlfriend. I don't think that, A, she went to the Senate floor and screamed how she was a proud white supremacist. B, I'm pretty sure she didn't have slaves. I'm pretty sure of that. And C, she's not known as the father of the Civil War like John C. Calhoun was. So that's a misnomer. That's just that's a false equivocator if you've ever seen one. And, you know, he's trying to, I'm sorry, I'll say what I said last night. If you are insisting that it has to be Calhoun, knowing exactly who John C. Calhoun was. You know exactly who John C. Calhoun was, and you still insist on it being there. You might as well call it Lake Hitler, because and it'd be the same thing. It would be the same exact thing in my mind, because he was a horrible, horrible human being, and there is no way in the world I'm going to ever be able to separate those two. So if you're one of these people that says, it's got to be Calhoun, my first thought is going to be, well you kind of like the racist idea, don't you? And especially if your argument is draped in so much racism, it should be wearing its own sheet. I'm not going to give you any leeway on that. I mean, it's clear where the pro-Calhoun argument is coming from. And it's not coming from anything in the bright skies. It's coming from the dark depths and the shadows. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah, the only argument I've heard is pretty much racist.
Well, and they can't help themselves. Now we don't have to pronounce it. Well, really? And that is your whole big problem, is that having to say a Native American name in a state called Minnesota? Okay.
Yeah, how many cities, lakes, and things are already named after their Native American name?
Oh, God. Really? You live in Minnesota. That's a native. Never mind. Never mind. It's going to be lost on you anyway. Well, that was well established. I got news for you. Bede Mancasca was well established too. So was Bedote. Bedote! The Minnesota Senate Republicans oppose any hike in the minimum wage. Henceforth, the senator struck a small explosive device in the year's energy and commerce bill. It would not only bar the city from setting its own minimum wage, but preclude them from mandating the paid sick time. The law would be retroactive to 2017. By the way, if you missed this, this was the sneaky sneak. The Republicans in the Senate were being the sneaky, sneaky, sneak, sneak, sneaks. Because the original bill said 2019. And somehow, when the bill was put into the larger language, the only change that was made in the bill, someone had taken that 9 and turned it into a 7. What would that do? And Peter Callahan over at MinnPost actually pointed out that, well, actually, that would make it retroactive. Henceforth, it would negate Minneapolis and St. Paul's, you know, $15 minimum wage rules. Aha! Conservatives and business leaders aren't prone to embracing the morality of good minimum wage, but they should see the pragmatism and the small repair of America's work ethic. Without any reasonable expectations of improving one's lot, there's no incentive to work at all. Still, great outcry ensued, since the two cities' notion of fairness is more gracious than state or the federal governments. In January, Minnesota's minimum wage reached a new high of $9.86. The federal minimum, hermetically sealed since 2007, remains at $7.25. And meaning a day's labor might buy dinner for two at an Olive Garden if you short the tip. The bill's main sponsor is Eric Pratt from Prior Lake. He worries about keeping state laws uniform. Oh, God. You Republicans are hilarious. You have big government out of control. Get your big government out of my local community. Unless it's Minneapolis, St. Paul. Get the big government in there now. Get it in there now, now, now. What was this idea about local control? Isn't that a Republican screaming point? Local control. Don't you bring your St. Paul attitude into my district. But here, look at Eric Pratt in Prior Lake, and I'm pretty sure his district doesn't encompass any part of Minneapolis and or St. Paul. Look at him sticking his nose in other people's districts. He could achieve, of course, by pushing the Senate to create a $15 minimum wage statewide, but he prefer a $5.14 an hour worth of less uniformity and no sick time. He's, by the way, is a banker. The City Pages article points out he's a banker, so he probably doesn't know the damn first thing about people that are working for that minimum wage. Doesn't know a dang thing about it. But he doesn't stop him from being an authority, does it? It doesn't stop him in the least bit. Even though he probably hasn't had a part-time job since he was a high school kid. He knows the ins and outs of your daily routine, lower-income Americans. He knows exactly what you're going through. And what you don't need is more money. Huh? That's exactly what Pratt says. You don't need more money. You just don't. The DFL House is opposed to the bill, but the legislators have to wait till last minute to negotiate. I don't know. The Democrats want to increase the gas tax because we need to increase the gas tax because the roads in the state suck and the mass transportation sucks. We need to actually increase road infrastructure improvements dramatically as well as mass transportation improvements dramatically. There's also this medical device tax, a medical service tax, which is $700 million that is generated for healthcare in Minnesota, which the Republicans are insistent on getting rid of. And there is $700 million for the healthcare, and they want to get rid of that. And they say, well, we'll cover that by just basically making cut, cut, cut. You know what that means? It means no healthcare for you, sick people, courtesy of the Republican Party of Minnesota. Because they're not going to give you sick time or medical coverage or anything or money because they're Republicans. Seriously, think about this. That's exactly what their entire platform this year is. No money for you for hard work. No sick time if you get sick. And if you get ill and you need to go to a doctor, screw you. Screw. Walk it off. Walk off your pneumonia. Walk it off. Jesus. You're Republicans. I don't know what they're going to try to negotiate. They clearly are putting some poison pills in these Senate bills. There's no way in the world they're going to get through it. And Melissa Hortman, Speaker of the House, if I may, let these bills die. let these bills die. If they're not going to negotiate, and I mean, first of all, none of these things should be absolute. So if they're saying tit for tat stuff, don't even try. But, you know, if they're not going to be willing to give common sense gun control, gas tax, they're not going to be willing to keep people's health care, take care of people, if they're not going to be willing to look at some of these things, well, then basically we can walk away from this and say, you know what, we'll keep the funding at the same levels, and we'll make sure our entire campaign coming up in 2020 is how the Republicans want to take away your salary, want to take your health care, and don't want to give you any sick time. Because that's the Republican Party today in Minnesota. Proud day. Oh, and they hate Native American names. Hate them. Hate Native Americans. Wow. That's amazing. Good luck. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Well, they hate Native American names. I'm clarifying that. Stein, when we do return, oh, it's a delicious bar of bar. Get ready for... It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Here's six great reasons to join Sick of Salmon Shares. Truly wild, hook and line caught Alaskan fish the way it was meant to be. Community focused, producer owned by our Alaskan fishing families. Exceptional quality, sashimi grade artisan caught fish. Sustainable and traceable, back to the exact boat and fisherman who caught it. Convenient and affordable, delivered directly to your home with delicious recipes and a variety of membership levels, all 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Learn more at sitkasalmonshares.com and use code AM950 when you join.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612.
Hey, Jeff, can you hear me? I'm just testing the Skype.
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, cool.
Help me get a peel with the kiddos in your generation.
If you're sure, my father is the home slice who's keeping it dope fresh, Matt McNeil.
Word, G.
Sure thing, Dad. When I buy my first vehicle, I'm heading to Rudy Luther Toyota. I love my Sienna, and that quality is featured in every one of their vehicles.
Rudy Luther Toyota has an incredible selection of new vehicles and is the seventh largest Toyota certified pre-owned dealer in the country. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Looking to experience the Northwoods and Boundary Waters? Big Bear Lodge is the perfect choice. May and June are a perfect time to spot some moose as well as have great fishing. Mention AM950 during May and you'll receive 10% off when you book the Dakota Cabin. A cozy cabin perfect for couples or a single person looking to unplug and unwind. Find out more about this great getaway and see their authentic modern woodsy cabins at BigBearLodgeMN.com. That's BigBearLodgeMN.com.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Today, cloudy with a high near 49. Tonight, chance of showers, low around 41. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 57. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week is Burger Mo's. They offer 20 fresh, never-frozen varieties, as well as delicious apps, soups, salads, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul. And there's plenty of free parking. Find out more at BurgerMo's.com.
Indeed, Burger Mo's, EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week. Try the Blue Cheeseburger. I love that one. As well as also their traditional California burgers, a pretty solid endeavor as well. Great fries, too. 60 beers on tap. It's 242 West 7th in St. Paul. BurgerMo's.com, the EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You'll find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org is his public service show, and he joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
So, Matt,
yes.
You know that each political party sends talking points out by email to people, and I wind up getting email from both sides of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. Because it's the type of program I do. I don't give my opinions except when I'm on with you, and I interview folks from all over the place. I just spent a half hour on the phone with your senator, Senator Klobuchar's media person, to get her on the program. But may I read to you some items the Republican National Committee sent out this morning?
Sure.
Before Attorney General Barr testified. This is a quote from the RNC media department. And if you have sound effects of laughter that you'd like to play at certain points, feel free. But here they are. After an extensive $35 million two-year investigation by the special counsel Robert Mueller, he made it clear there was, underline, no collusion. Next paragraph.
Okay.
So before Cory Booker attempts another Spartacus moment or Kamala Harris deceptively edits a clip to try and further their 2020 standings, it's worth remembering the following. Bullet point one, no collusion. Bullet point two.
For God's sakes, believe us this time.
Because if you underline it enough. Right?
Yes. Well, is it what kind of font? Is it the Avatar font? Oh, I love that Sanskrit. That's just good stuff.
It might have been colored, but I don't know. Bullet point two, no obstruction. The DOJ cleared President Trump. Bullet point three. Any redactions to the report were done according to the DOJ protocol and in conjunction with the special counsel's team. No one outside of the Department of Justice was allowed to make additional redactions. Bullet point four, exactly zero respondents in a recent CNN poll said Mueller's investigation was the most important issue related to their 2020 vote. Then it says, no matter how much the Democrats wish it to be otherwise, these are the facts. And it closes by saying, and one more inconvenient truth for the Democrats, the economy under President Trump is booming. There. That's what the RNC sent out offering surrogates to come speak on the topic. I did not reply to the invitation, but that's what's being sent before he even spoke today. Your thoughts, sir?
I love the fact that I love how you scream, no one cares about this in the election. Meanwhile, it's the main focus of everything that you're putting out today.
That was my impression too. It's like, okay, there's nothing to see here.
It's Leslie Nielsen.
Even if there is, nobody cares.
It's Leslie Nielsen and Police Squad when the fireworks building is on fire behind him and he's sitting there, nothing to see here. Head home, everybody.
So nothing happened, and even if it did, nobody cares. And even if people care, the economy is good. Look over here, shiny object over here. Yeah. It was a masterstroke that I almost forwarded it to you, but I thought it would be better just to gently lay it at your feet in this manner.
Kind of very Games of Thrones reference there.
Okay. Did you also hear me throw it away just now? It clunked in the waste can down there.
It's a lead balloon. So Post came out with it first. Times followed very quickly. Robert Mueller, now we know, Mueller immediately after the first Barr summary sent Barr a letter saying, that's not what this says, basically, sent him a second letter. And as a matter of fact, actually had a phone conversation with Barr about this. This pretty much in my mind, and then, by the way, it should be pointed out, Patrick Leahy got Barr to admit, oh, yeah, when he was talking to the House, yeah, he lied because that he had actually heard back from Mueller that Mueller had a problem with his summary and that it wasn't being summarized as the Mueller investigation felt it was appropriate. And he never mentioned any of that when he was in the House, which I can't imagine Barr's got any idea he's going to ever try to go back to the U.S. House at this point. But the reality,
well, they want him tomorrow. They want him there tomorrow.
Well, the reality is at this point, I even under trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, there's no way you can trust Barr, can you?
Here's where there was a slip up today, and I think this answers your question. You can parse this statement all you want, but I don't think this is the phraseology a neutral party would have used. When referring to the report, and he was being quizzed about how he rolled it out and the summary, everything else, and by the way, ancillary point, there are some on the right who are saying Mueller objected to the fact that there was a summary And when asked, well, what do you object to? Could not come up with concrete items. Well, no, you don't come up with concrete items because it was the whole aura of trying to frame the report. So I don't think that that's an issue. But when Barr was asked, he said, once Mueller turned that report over, it was my baby. That I understand as a lawyer, you're trying to say it was your responsibility. It was in your purview and control and your duties. Okay, I get it, but I cannot fathom calling it my baby.
Yeah, well,
that tells me an awful lot about the whole mindset,
well,
does it not?
Isn't that that's the frame. When he's in the room with the Trump people telling him what to do, isn't that the Mueller report's your baby now? I mean, you know that. And his saying it slipped, that let that slip out. That's when they're behind closed doors, that's how they're referring it. That the Mueller report is Barr's baby. Barr, that's your baby. You take care of it. And he let that slip out because that's exactly, you don't use phraseology like that when you're talking about Senate. Here are some of the gems from today.
Are these the greatest hits? You're going to hit me with greatest hits?
Kamala Harris getting him to admit that not he nor anyone in the Department of Justice actually reviewed the evidence of the Mueller report, which was pretty before he came out with the summary. They never reviewed the evidence that he admitted that, or he insists the Trump telling his lawyer to lie is not a crime. Okay. And then here's my favorite, though. And I actually was at the Y, and I saw this on there, and they had the closed captioning, and I saw this, and I said, what? I actually said it out loud. His argument is, it's not obstruction of justice to order your lawyer to fire the special counsel who's looking into Trump, because at the end of the investigation, Barr says he didn't find anything wrong. So henceforth, during the investigation, threatening to fire him before the investigation is over isn't really obstruction of justice, because at the end of the day, no blood, no foul. This is the attorney general saying this, and that was his cover now of why he is so insistent that obstruction of justice did not happen, is not the fact that it didn't happen during the investigation. He basically said, well, there's no crime here, so henceforth there's nothing I can charge him from, which is also what sounds like a lie as well. We now know it's kind of a lie as well.
Four things come to mind. One, nice way to slip in. You were at the gym today.
Thank you. Gun show on the live stream. Boom, boom. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Now I'm an advocate for gun control.
Now I'm an advocate for shutting that damn camera off.
So that's number one. Number two, I saw something today. It may have been in Politico now, I don't recall, where certain Republican operatives were so pleased with how Barr has been handling things, they were going to urge the president to dump Mike Pence and put Barr on the ticket in 2020 because he was the type of pit bull they needed. Now, that's unsourced, it was just, but I'm thinking to myself, there may well be people who think that. Okay, now let's go to your points as you're reloading the guns.
Wow. They would destroy their entire evangelical base if they got rid of Mike Pence. Oh my God, who kind of I'm just kind of stunned by that one. Go ahead, please.
I was too, because my thought as I read that was, how much water has that man carried for this administration?
Oh, God.
Now you may say it's a bad idea that he be doing it and he should just resign out of a conscience, but the point is, for a president who believes supposedly in loyalty above all else, I'm not sure who's been more loyal than the vice president. But put that aside. All right. When Barr says there were a couple of things on this firing point. I'm going to take them separately. One is, it is not a crime to remove someone for a conflict of interest, because the definition of that means there will be a replacement. So what he was trying to say in that narrow world was, if you were going to fire Mueller because of a conflict of interest, that was not to get rid of the investigation, because someone else would be appointed, and therefore it's not obstruction because of the reasoning behind it. A, I don't know that I believe that, but B, let's just put that over here.
Well, and now also you can't make that excuse after the fact. I mean, you have to have that. If you're going to use that excuse, that's something you have to have well documented prior to making the decision.
And again, Barr came late to the party, and so he wasn't there to offer the advice at the time. So what he's doing in essence is looking back and saying, how do you account for the behavior? You know, as a lawyer, and again, is he the country's lawyer or the president's lawyer? Let's just leave that alone. You look to try to provide a defense, and that's what you do after the fact. You're not there to advise prospectively. To your point that led you to scream out in pain during the workout, it is totally false for this reason. Let's say I'm giving you an analogy as a lawyer. Let's say a judge issues an injunction against you and says, Matt McNeil, you will not do X, Y, and Z while this lawsuit is pending. And let's say it has to do with you cannot spend money from this account because there's a dispute over whose money it is. You violate the court order by spending the money, but in the ultimate lawsuit, they say it was your money. You still committed contempt of court because you violated the then pending court order. It doesn't matter about the ultimate resolution of the case. Bad behavior is not excused by an all's well that ends well answer.
You don't pull a gun in a bank and say this is a robbery, but because you walk out of the bank with no money, there's no charges filed.
You could go with that one. Yeah, that's I like mine, but you know, it's all right.
Yours is better. Yours is more well thought out. Your point is it is the same thing though, because it is you can't kind of undo the crime like that. And this whole
argument. You can't say there's no harm. Yeah. You can't say you're not guilty because there was no resultant harm. And it's the, you know, child custody cases, okay? And some of these people are behaving like children, so why not? If there's a court order that says this person must surrender custody of the children, it doesn't matter if in the end the judge says that the original party should have the children. You've got to follow the court orders all along, and you are not absolved of a violation of a court order by what we're going to call the all's well that ends well doctrine. You can't – that does not compute in the rule of law. It just doesn't. It also doesn't compute in the world of common sense. Sometimes those two intersect.
By the way, Matt Sowell over on this Facebook live stream reminding us of the great Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons. Nothing to see here. Oh, my God.
Well, it's Baghdad Bob, right? You remember Baghdad Bob saying the Americans are nowhere near the city, and you saw the tanks in the background.
They're parked in the parking lot of the station, dude. they're right back there. Klobuchar. As you talked about trying to get her, the senator, on the air with you, her legal.
Because you've been no help. You've provided me no help.
Yeah, you think she returns my calls. Good luck. You don't want me trying to help you on that one. But no, you know, Senator Klobuchar brought her legal background to this and just dismantled Barr, because with Barr's goofery, for lack of a better way of saying it, to try to say, well, there's no law here. He didn't like this. She, Kamala Harris as well, just absolutely dismantled this guy, saying, what are you talking about? He didn't break laws. Laws are being broken here. And you basically are doing everything in your power to say, no, they're not, even though we at this point are starting to see pretty much copious amounts of evidence that there is some big problems here.
Well, I don't even know how to respond to that, because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, when the best legal doctrine you can lay out is to say, well, since there was no there, all the behavior leading from point A to point B was excused, that's the best you have. I mean, that's not even an argument a defense attorney would make with a straight face.
This is like, you know, when you come home and there's like some leftover cake, and all of a sudden you go to the fridge and the cake is gone, and your wife has eaten the cake, and she's like, I have no idea where the cake is. You can't get off the crime like that. legally, I've got you pretty much dead to rights in the court case at this point of Matt v. Duncan Hines, and I will win that case, darn it.
Blaming your wife for stealing cake that she probably baked.
Oh, I mean,
like.
Speaking of cartoon character voices, when we do return, the Republicans yes. in the Senate trying to defend Barr is one of the funniest damn things. And we've got some naughty language from Lindsey Graham. We'll talk about that in a second as well. Jeff Stein joining us. And, of course, we'll get to the point. Should Barr be forced to resign of this? We'll return right here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, is philanthropy bad for democracy?
How could it be a bad thing for people to give money to charities of their choice?
Depends on whether they're ordinary people or billionaires.
Well, sometimes billionaires can do what government can't or won't.
Turning things over to the super rich? That's no way to run a democracy.
Is philanthropy bad for democracy? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Dad, don't you have a delusional "my dad is radio host Matt McNeil" opening line for this ad?
I'll let you speak from your heart this time, son.
Sure. I drive a Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna. It handles great, even during nasty weather, and it carries all my stuff. I play baseball, and the Sienna has room for half the team and all our gear. The Sienna is great.
Having another driver in the family is a stress reliever, but knowing he's driving himself, his sisters, and his friends in a reliable and safe Toyota Sienna is peace of mind. Thanks, Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
The Minneapolis Farmers Market has the best selection of plants for your gardens, the freshest produce, meats, and farmstead goods. You'll find meat vendors, some homestead vendors, and greenhouse vendors in the early part of spring. Plus, there will be fresh produce when the weather gets warmer. The Hennepin County Government Center Market is open Tuesdays. The Nicollet Mall Market is open on Thursdays. And the 312 East Lindell Market is open daily from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us with his usual weekly visit here as we're talking about the revelations that Bob Mueller did indeed come to Attorney General Barr after Barr's summary letter and told him that he's mischaracterizing the report dramatically and what he said and actually spoke to him. Let's start with will he end up resigning here? Because, I mean, they do have him pretty much dead to rights to lying to the House. And, you know, about the fact that he said that, you know, Mueller had not been in touch. Now, a reminder as well, once the report got released.
Matt, I've got music, so I'm really not able to. There we go.
There we go. All right, there we go.
You're talking about Mueller.
We're talking about Mueller, and we're talking about, well, with the Mueller report and Barr specifically. Mm-hmm. In regards to Barr, what I think is going on is that, you know, he is in trouble. He has got, there is enough here now where he basically completely. You know, I know he'll say I wasn't, you know, I was a little evasive. The reality is he lied about not hearing from Mueller after his summary of the Mueller report. We also know that he lied about the fact that, you know, in the Mueller report, Mueller said I can't charge him because of DOJ rules. He said that the Congress should take it up. Barr said that he never suggested Congress should take it up. So needless to say, I mean, Barr has been proven to be a pretty big liar. Will he survive this? I know that Trump loves him. That's his baby. That's his baby. But, you know, will he survive this? I actually have some serious doubts at this point.
I don't think that it's in the interest of the Democrats to force him from office, because who are you going to get next? I mean, the realistic point of the situation is if you have an individual as attorney general who you can make a case to the American people is flawed and is nothing more than a henchman for the president, that plays very nicely for you. And I'm not really sure that at this point I'm not sure who the next clown would be who would come in. But I just wonder if he serves the Democrats' political purposes well enough in this current role that it makes no sense to make a change. Now, I've just done the game that I always rail against where I'm saying we're playing politics as opposed to what's good government. But, you know, again, who's going to get nominated next? Who could even get confirmed? How many acting people would there be? Half the cabinet is acting as opposed to confirmed anyway. So I say he survives it because Trump won't make a change. And I don't know that, you know, the Democrats can't do much about it. He's already been confirmed. And well, he was confirmed as being this wonderful individual that everybody could trust. And if that's not the case, there's not a lot they can do, is there?
Well, they can impeach him and then they throw him out to the Senate and the Senate will let him off the hook. But the reality is, how much could they stop him? How much can Barr stop from the country seeing what's really in that Mueller report? I mean, eventually it's going to come out, isn't it? I mean, the House and Senate are going to subpoena Mueller himself. They're going to, you know, McGahn's already said that he's willing to talk. I mean, it's going to come out what's in there.
Now, there are some redactions that have to be because of the grand jury component. I mean, I don't care who it is. Mueller would say that. Everybody would say that. There is a less redacted version that's been offered up to certain members of Congress. I think the best Barr move at this point is to say there's an unredacted version or redacted less. In other words, the grand jury stuff is still secret. Mm-hmm. And we'll make that available for review like we would under lock and key. You get this number of minutes and you get to look at it. That's how stuff is done like this. The problem is that at this point they said they were going to limit it to only, what, 5 or 6 people in each political party. Why not just say if you are a member of the United States Congress, you make the appointment, you go in, you can take a look at it, help yourself. And if it leaks, it leaks. And of course it will leak. But I think the idea of saying that it's a limited number of people who get to see it, I'm not sure what the justification is. Mm-hmm. And all it does is play into the narrative that there's something to hide.
And I still think that someone within the Mueller investigation itself will eventually leak a copy. The Republicans on this committee, Grassley's points were the two FBI agents, have they been investigated? Has Steele been investigated as doing collusion with the Democrats? Has there been further investigation into DOJ leaks? Nothing about the Mueller contradictions in his leave. No. Lindsey Graham got into swearing, which is actually pretty astounding nowadays in this committee because he was so desperate to try to defend Trump. They don't really have anywhere they can go with this outside of just saying we're going to stand by Trump, by Barr, and that's it.
Well, and again, Graham was quoting texts by FBI agents, and he selectively quoted ones that used language you shouldn't air on TV, which led Graham to then say, oh, sorry, kids, if you heard that. Well, that was a stunt. We know that. I had Grassley on my program Monday and asked him, basically he said there's nothing in the Mueller report. And then I said, well, then should just let it go. There are some in your party who say we need to that there is collusion, but it's the other side. And he goes, oh, yes, we have to get to the bottom of that. It's like, all right, well, now we know what the tone is, right? Mm-hmm. The tone is to claim victory and then use that as a sword against others. And, you know, that's what you've seen today. Because, again, you're not hearing about the actual Russia attempts to undermine the election.
No, you're not.
And again, they were doing that on both sides of the fence. And that's not me saying both sides do it. I'm just saying you're right. They don't mention it.
They don't. And as a matter of fact, it's pretty astounding that you had to work hard to ignore that today. Jeff Stein, once again, we'll get the Iowa Politics Report posted a little bit later on. Find his books at Common Good Books and TotallyIowa.com. Talk to you next week, okay? Till tomorrow. See you guys. Bye-bye.